Ephesians chapter 6, and the topic I was thinking of today is be ready always. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse, as you know, this section here, just the whole chapter after chapter 5 and starting of chapter 6 deals with all of life and how Christ is Lord and all of life, and the things that we do unto him. And then later part of the chapter, he starts to talk about the armor. I just want to look at one little aspect of that today. In Ephesians 6:13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So I wanted to look a little bit at that verse, "on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." This one part of the armor where the feet are shod with the gospel of peace, you know, where you walk, wherever you go, wherever you walk, you carry the foundation of the gospel. Darby translates this, "and shod your feet with the preparation of the glad tidings of peace. Weymouth, as well as the shoes of the good news of peace, a firm foundation for your feet." That's how it's translated. Everywhere you go, every opportunity in life that confronts you each day as you go about your work or other things, you carry the gospel of peace where you go. Let's look at a couple of examples. Look at John chapter 4. Of course, Jesus Christ is the finest example of that. John chapter 4. Going to look at verse 7 to start. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." You know, the whole situation here starts off with Jesus Christ making a physical request. I would like some water. So he asks her for some water. "For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." Verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." You know, and it's a good question. I mean, obviously, culturally, this was true and all that. And it's a good question. It's interesting how Jesus Christ responds. And, you know, let's just read it first. Verse 10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Did he address any part of her question? No. He didn't mention anything about what she had said. He said, if you knew who you're talking to, I would have given you living water. I mean, a few verses back there, he asked for physical water, and within the spirit, you know, within a couple of verses, he's already got her thinking about living water. "The woman saith unto him," sir, verse 11, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water?" She's still kind of in the physical category. "And art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank himself, thereof himself, and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Do you think Jesus Christ was ready always? Do you think he might have carried the gospel of peace wherever he went? You know, it's a simple conversation. How many simple conversations do you get into in your lives? What are we thinking? What are the filter through which we are seeing the situations and conversations of the world that we get into? In verse 29, another example, while we're in chapter 4. "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" This woman now is saying this to the village. "Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." You know, again, a physical thing. First he was asking her for water. Here they're saying, "You're hungry? Have some food." "He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Again, totally changes the subject of the conversation from physical meat to something totally different. What was he thinking about? What was on his heart in the situation? You know, was it the water in her case, really? Or was it the food in this case, really? Or was it something greater than that? Something else that he carried with him? Verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, was anybody give him something to eat? And they're still, again, just like her, you know, the food thing. Did you guys feed him? He sounds like he's not hungry anymore. And Jesus, 34, said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What is that? Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Where was his heart? What was his mind thinking about in the whole time? He goes, there are people who need to hear the gospel. There are people who need to hear the word of God. That's what he was thinking about. You know, he may have started off with a conversation about food or a conversation about water in the case of the woman, but that's not where he took it. That's not where he left it. That's not what he carried in his heart. He was ready. He was ready always to do, as we know from age 12. Now I got to deal with my father's business. I'm a little busy here. What are we busy about doing? What do we carry when we go into situations of life? Let's go to John chapter 6. We read this last week, but just to bring back a couple of verses, we were looking at the place of God's word in your heart and your life, and this section about Jesus Christ being the true bread from heaven. We'll just read it again in John chapter 6, verse 27. Again, he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou, then that we may see and believe thee, what that dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now it's interesting. In one case, you know, he was talking to the woman about water. In another case, he was talking to the disciples about food. And here he covers both of them. You know, you want food that you'll never hunger again. You want water you'll never drink again. I'm it. Jesus Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ. And that's what he carried. That's what we carry. And that's, you know, taking our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wherever we go, that's what we carry. That's what we bring into conversations. That's what we bring into our thinking. Look at Paul, Acts chapter 17. And we've looked at Paul in some detail lately, but Acts 17, and again, Jesus Christ's words at the end of his life, near the end of his life, in John 17, when he said, I have given them thy word. That's what you asked God for me to do, and I gave them your word. Acts 17, when Paul had just left Berea, he's been in Thessalonica, he'd been in Berea, and then because of the persecution, they took him down to Athens. Athens at that time, as we've read before, you know, was a place of, you know, great culture. Greek culture was flourishing. There was, you know, all kinds of statues and building and all kinds of things flourishing. So when Paul arrives there in Acts chapter 17, verse 15, and they conducted Paul forth, brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. And while Paul waited for them at Athens, he was really excited about the history and culture of the situation. No, that's not what it says. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. See, what was Paul's, where was his heart at? You know, Athens was a great place. He goes there and he sees idolatry. And he gets, it stirs him up. Why? Because what was he seeing the world through? What was the filter through which he saw the world? The need for the gospel, the need for the gospel. And when we go to situations, whether it's a store or marketplace or workplace or whatever, what am I seeing? What do I think about? What are these people that I communicate with regularly? What do I think about them? And here Paul saw the city wholly given to idolatry, and it stirred him. So what was his solution? Well, the next verse tells us his solution. Therefore, verse 17, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and the market daily with them that met him. What was he talking about? What was his answer to the problem that confronted him and the people of Athens? He taught God's where we read the rest of the chapter. You know, he made known unto them the unknown God. Some believed, some didn't, and he went on to Corinth. Look at Romans chapter 1. And we saw his manner throughout his journeys, going in and teaching wherever he went. And in Romans, when he wrote to the Romans by revelation, what does he write? Romans 1:15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Ready always. I am ready to preach the gospel to you. That he doesn't say I'm ready to visit Rome, you know, the birth of Roman civilization and all the various architecture and all. He didn't say that. I am ready. Why? I want to go. I mean, if you read, you know, when he was writing this in early part of Acts, he really had a desire to go see them. And he never actually had visited them before until he went there later. But he knew a lot of them because he had seen them in his journeys. And he said, I am ready to preach. He wants to go there and make known God's word. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The reason we want to make the gospel known to a dying world, a world that really, more than anything else, needs the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he carried. That's what we carry when we go. That's a part of our armor, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's made available. Even when they asked him, what can we believe? He goes, believe on him whom he had sent. That was it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 9, landmark chapter on the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I think he was always ready. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do the thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed. Now, if he didn't do it willingly, you know, he still had the responsibility to do it. It had been given to him. So, and he says, well, if he does it willingly, verse 18, what is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of charge, Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power. See, he wanted to make sure the gospel was available to them. And if you read the whole chapter, you know that he didn't even, you know, he said he wouldn't even accept funds if it stopped the movement of the gospel. And later on, he talks about the real reward, which is in eternity that results. But what was his heart? His heart was, no matter whether he needed the money or didn't need it or whatever, when anyone was stopping him, he wanted to make known the gospel. He had the responsibility. And he said that, woe is unto me. It sounds just like Jeremiah read last week, right? You know, he said, I kind of wanted to stop speaking, but the word was so hot in my heart, I couldn't do it. Just like Paul, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's what he carried. That's what he took with him wherever he went. That's what we take. You know, we represent. That's what we, you know, how much of God's word do we know? You know, I mean, honestly, how many things in God's word have we understood over the years that we maybe take for granted sometime, but people just don't know? You know, how much do we carry? Even the simple truth that Jesus Christ is what people need to hear about, that Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. Those simple things we carry wherever we go. Is that what we think about when we meet people? Is that what we think about when we're, you know, we're walking around town or going to a restaurant or wherever we go? The waiter that comes to your table, am I thinking, boy, that guy or that girl, she really needs the gospel of Jesus Christ? Am I looking for the opportunity? Because I've got it with me. I'm supposed to have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Is that what I'm thinking about? You know, look at Isaiah chapter 52. There's lots of examples, as we know. Remember when Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem and he stopped off in Miletus, called the elders from Ephesus down. You know, they had a bit of a meeting there, and he told them that I haven't shunned to declare unto you all the gospel of God. That's what he was blessed about, that he was able to share with them the gospel. That's what he was telling. When they were thrown in jail in Acts 5, the angel didn't come and say, well, you guys ought to lay low for a while. You know, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You know, it's God's heart to make known the truth about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word says that in the Old Testament, it says the word is a light to our path, a lamp onto our feet. Why do we need a light and a lamp in this world? Because there's a certain amount of darkness in the world. And the only thing that cuts through that darkness is the gospel. And it's the word that does that work. And we carry that where we go. Right? But are we ready always? Are we always ready to make that? Is that what we're thinking about? Isaiah 52, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Good tidings of good. Isn't it interesting that word? This is really good, what he's talking about here. You get that? It's really, really good. How wonderful it is, how beautiful of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Let's see in context what that good tidings, that good news, is good involves. Verse 8, thy watchmen shall lift up thy voice, the voice, with the voice two together shall they sing, but they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. The Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by fight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. And many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, but that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. What's the context? What is Isaiah talking about here? Let's go to where this is quoted in Romans chapter 10. Good tidings of good things. Good news. How beautiful are the feet of them. Romans chapter 10. Verse, we know the section, but let's read it. Verse 9, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at that, simple. And the world shall see the salvation of the Lord. You know, what simple words that we carry, but what great results they bring. You know, and for the scripture says, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him, on him, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, I was thinking, I think I was mentioning last week, I was reading that article where the gentleman had said that it's really sad when witnessing situations that you come across, you remember them after they're passed. Wouldn't it be nice, he said, if you could remember these witness situations as they're taking place? Because it's a sad thing when you see the back of a situation. Oh, I really wish I had spoken the word that, you know. Well, how are they going to hear? How can they hear? You know, sometimes you might think, well, I'm putting this person out, or it might be a little bit, you know, they might get a little bit annoyed, or people here might think about, you know, oh, this guy's a real geeky guy talking about Jesus Christ, or whatever reason that comes to our mind about why we wouldn't hold forth the gospel. You know, they have to be all cast aside to recognize the importance of the words that you speak. The earth shall know the salvation. We carry the information of the salvation of God. We carry that information wherever we go. Feet shod of the preparation of gospel of peace. We carry that. So all the other, you know, not necessarily excuses, but reasons we might have for not saying something because it might make us feel uncomfortable, somebody else, who cares? Right? Does it really matter? We certainly hear enough information in the world from others who don't care what you think, how you feel, or how whatever happens. But they don't carry the words of the gospel, the words of salvation. But we have that privilege. We've been given that privilege and responsibility. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, as we just read, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things about Jesus Christ. Remember, he was born, what does it say? Peace and goodwill toward all men. Peace. There was what God was waiting for, the salvation of the Lord coming to the earth. And here he says, you know, it's wonderful, those people who are willing to say this and speak this that I've asked them to speak. And we'll close in 1 Peter chapter 3. And we never read Isaiah 53, which is all about Jesus Christ, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, the entire chapter, if you read 1 Peter 3, you'll see, you know, it's talking about how we live our lives and how when, you know, people do bad things to you, you don't respond and like an example is given as the Lord Jesus Christ. But just to close in verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That literally should be, I'll give you it from the Working Translation, sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. And most of the translations said Christ. The Lord Christ in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always. You know, what is the reason that you have? What is it that you have to share? What is it that God would have you give an answer for the reason for the hope that is in you? Why do you live the way you do? Why are you positive? Why do you have hope in your heart? Why do you live this way? What's wrong with you? People might say. All those reasons, you know. We have the opportunity, you know, again, the context of 1 Peter, living like Jesus Christ, walking like Jesus Christ, carrying ourselves the way that he carried himself. And here it says, with meekness and fear, reverence and respect. You know, we don't try to walk all over people. We love them. We reach out with love to the people. We share with them the gospel that we've been given the blessing to believe, and we're always ready. We see situations through the filter of the gospel. It feels ready to harvest the encouragement for us, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, that bring the salvation of the Lord being made known. And here we have the blessing, privilege, responsibility to do that. So we're ready always, always looking for opportunities. Our feet shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To quote what Paul said, that by all means we might save some, might be able to reach some people and share the great news of God's salvation. So be ready always.